Today is the 11th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am very, very, very grateful to be here with you today. What an honor, a privilege. I'm so grateful that we have the Global Campfire. Hope you are doing well. It's so good to be together, just like feel this community. So good to see you here. Grateful that we get this is a little time every day to spend together. Very grateful. So we're working our way through the book of 1 Samuel right now. And we are learning the story, the transitional story right now, from judge to king. So we read the book of Judges, the final judge, his name is Samuel. He is a prophet. He is about to anoint Israel's first king. We met him yesterday. His name is Saul, and we're picking up that story today. Saul has an awful lot to teach us about ourselves. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 11. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, and he kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you over his inheritance as ruler? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped caring about the donkeys and worries for you, saying, "What will I do for my son?" Then you will go forward from there, and you will come to the plain of Tabor, and there you will meet three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will receive from their hands. After that, you will come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. And when you come there to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a harp, a tambourine, a flute, and a lyre before them. And they will prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them. And you will be turned into another man. And it will be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires. For God is with you. Then you will go down before me to Gilgal. And listen, I will be coming down to you in order to offer burnt offerings and to offer sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you will wait until I come to you. Then I will make known to you what you will do. And it happened that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. When they came to the hill, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. So when all who previously knew him saw that he prophesied among the prophets, the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said to him and his servants, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the donkeys." And when they saw that they were nowhere around, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys were found. But the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not mention." Therefore Samuel called the people together unto the Lord at Mizpah. And he said to the children of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God who saves you from all your troubles and your distresses. And you have said to him, 'No, but set a king over us.' Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." So Samuel brought near all the tribes of Israel, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken. Then he brought near the tribe of Benjamin by its families, and the family of Matri was chosen. Then Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired again of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "He has hidden himself among the equipment." So they ran and took him from there. When he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. Then Samuel said to the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? Truly there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and sang, "Long live the king!" Samuel told the people the ordinances of the kingdom, and he wrote them in a book and laid them up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of valiant men whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless men said, "How will this man save us?" And they despised him and did not bring him a present. But he remained silent. Then Naash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Naash, "Make a covenant with us and we will serve you." Naash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may pluck out your right eyes. So I will inflict it as a reproach upon Israel." The elders of Jabesh said to him, "Give us 7 days that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to rescue us, we will come out to you." So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and spoke the words in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now Saul was coming out of the field after the cattle, and Saul said, "Why are the people weeping?" And they reported to him the words of the men of Jabesh. The Spirit of God came strongly upon Saul when he heard these words, and he became very angry. He took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces, and he sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so will it be done to his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out as one man. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They said to the messengers that came, "Thus will you say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, 'Tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you will have help.'" And the messengers came and reported to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do to us all that seems good to you." On the next day, Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Those surviving were scattered so that even two of them were not left together. The people said to Samuel, "Who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men that we may put them to death." Saul said, "There will not be a man put to death this day, for today the Lord has worked deliverance in Israel." And Samuel said to the people, "Come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." All the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. and there they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all Israel's fighting men rejoiced greatly. John 6:43-71. Jesus therefore answered them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When they heard this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Knowing in himself that his disciples murmured about it, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. Then he said, "For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it were given to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Psalm 107, Book 5, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak out, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness on a deserted path. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them on a level road, that they might go to a city to live in. Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Some sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being prisoners in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and rejected the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their hearts with hard labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke apart their bonds. Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Some were fools because of their transgressions, and because of their iniquities they are afflicted. They loathed all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people. And let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Some went down to the sea in ships to do business in the vast waters. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep water. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the sea waves. The sailors went up to the sky. They came down to the depths. Their strength melted because of the great danger. They reeled to and fro and staggered like drunken men, and were completely confused. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He made the storm calm, and the sea waves were still. They were glad because the waters were quiet, so he brought them to their desired harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people. Let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into salty wasteland, because of the wickedness of those living there. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, a parched ground into springs of water. There he makes the hungry dwell, and they prepare a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards, and yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them so that they are greatly multiplied, and he does not let their livestock decrease. But when they are diminished and brought down through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in a wilderness with no road. Yet he raises up the poor from affliction and cares for their families like flocks of sheep. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all evil people shall stop their mouth. Whoever is wise, let him observe these things. Let them consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Proverbs 15, 1 through 3. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Okay, so as the story goes, the transition from judges to kings happens through Samuel and a man named Saul. We meet Saul taking his servant, setting out to find some lost donkeys. He had no idea in this moment that he would return the anointed king of Israel. He was just looking for donkeys. But when he encountered Samuel, that's what happened. His entire world changed. Samuel anointed him with oil, gave him several prophetic words about what was going to happen, to give him kind of signs, and all of those same things came true in succession. And then Samuel brings the people of Israel to the town of Mizpah, which is near Saul's hometown of Gibeah. Both towns were within view of Jerusalem. And then with much fanfare, Samuel drew lots to systematically narrow down the chosen one in front of the people as they watched. And then when Saul was chosen, nobody could find him. Like, he's not there. Where is he? And the Lord replies, he's hiding with the equipment. He's hiding among the baggage. How often have we witnessed God's movement in our lives and felt the pull, the call, the compulsion to participate, only then to look at it, count the cost, weigh our fear, and hide in the baggage. Hide in our own baggage. When it was time to step forward, away from that. So we see here, right out the gate, because I've been saying Saul teaches us a lot about ourselves. A lot, a lot. So we see right out of the gate, Saul for sure looks the part. He looks like a king, but he does not carry that within him. He has a great flaw. He fears what other people think of him more than any other fear. We all have that flaw to some degree. Saul has it on a level that has incredible consequence, and we get to see that in vivid color, how it plays out. And if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, that is vital information for our lives, because it will play out the same with us. Saul will give us very clear views of where those roads lead, and also offer us clear choices that we are going to have to make. And then, boy, John. So, lots of people are following Jesus now. Word of mouth is definitely spreading. People are starting to flock I mean, they're chasing him around, wondering where he gets his power, wondering how he can do what he can do, wondering what his words mean, because nobody speaks like him. Hanging on to his every word, beginning to question, could he be the Messiah? And he's constantly being, pressed to prove himself. So in the reading today, he just clears the deck. He just wipes the slate clean. Which definitely interrupts that momentum of people chasing after him everywhere that he goes. He tells the crowd surrounding him that if they don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, they could not have eternal life within them. So true is the statement, maybe, at face value anyway, not such a great marketing choice. Very, very confusing. It left all kinds of people disrupted. But that gives us clues, though, to what Jesus is after. He's not trying to build a fan base. He was not interested in the circus that was swirling all around him, like people chasing a magician, like people chasing after somebody with a great show. So he clarifies, I am here living because of the living Father, my Father who sent me. And in the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did. So Jesus is showing the crowd in vivid detail, but showing the crowd and disrupting them by instructing them that there can be no eternal life unless there is union with God. Like a oneness of being, an intertwining, a collaboration that we would, by any other definition, call a life-giving relationship. But man, that message had its intended effect. It told the truth and weeded out all of the people on the periphery. People left in droves. Even some of the people that had been close followers of Jesus could not take that on board and abandoned him. As the crowds are departing away from him, Jesus keeps speaking, the Spirit alone can give eternal life. Human effort doesn't do anything. But the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But you don't believe me. So it's just a weird scene, full of kind of really complex layers. The people are hearing the truth and walking away from God. And Jesus turns to his 12, and this is kind of a sad scene. He turns to the 12. They haven't heard this before either. And asks them, so, are you going to leave too? Are you leaving me too? So that's when Peter responds to Jesus' question, very importantly and deeply and truly, in the words must be our own. Where would we go? Who would we go to? You are the one that has the words that give eternal life. We know you are the Holy One of God. Where else would we be? So we see again, it wasn't a fan club. It wasn't, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people on a mailing list that he was trying to form. He still isn't. The message, the teachings, the way of the Master has a cost. Kind of a high one. the cost? Is everything. All that we are, all that we ever were, without him. Union with God is something that will burn to ash anything false, anything else. But in that burning, and the pain of it, rebirth, the possibility of new life. And that new life is eternal. So the crowds left Jesus because they didn't have ears to hear or eyes to see. Do we, though? What are the thoughts and intents of our hearts truly saying about Jesus with our lives? Because Jesus is offering union with God. And that is not only possible, it's eternal. And so Jesus, first of all, it's words of gratitude. Where else could we begin? Gratefulness, thankfulness for your love for us, your patience and kindness, tolerance of us, and some of the things that we get ourselves into. Your graciousness, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice, your endurance. Not only enduring with us personally, but with this species, the human race, for this long, putting up with us and all of our insanity. Thank you. You say you are the bread of life. You say that we can live eternally through you, in you, with you. We invite that. That is what we are looking for. And acknowledge that the offer really is the cost of everything else. We really do kind of have to let go of everything else that is false. We can't live in those places anymore. We can't live in the double life. We can't live in the triple life. We can't live with all of the masks. We can't live with the complete hypocrisy. We cannot live with the deception. We cannot live this way. We are not made to live this way. It is like cancer consuming us, and we know it. But to give up all these things, to walk away from all these habits and rituals and things that have been handed to us that we don't even know why we think that way and why we do it, because it's imprinted on us from our families, to step outside of all of that and truly say, my identity isn't in any of my imprinting or any of the wounds and traumas of my life. My identity is in Christ alone. Well, that's freedom. But it truly is stepping away from everything that anyone might ever expect us to be so that their lives can feel a certain way. All of our little family systems, all of the little ways that we have stylized us for who we're perceived to be at work, who we're perceived to be at church. We have to be willing to surrender the image and take on the image of Christ alone. Holy Spirit, come, lead us deeper into Jesus today. We ask in his name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is the app, and that can be found in the app store that works with your device. These are home base. They are all brand new. We are just moved in and settled and settling. So make sure that you update to the latest Daily Audio Bible app 2.0 and mess around, play around, enjoy what we have been working on for years to take us forward, to integrate us more deeply with the ability to interact with the scriptures and make them like real places, real stories, real lessons for our lives. And the app does a really good job of getting us going down that road in ways that nothing else can. We built it from scratch to do what it does. And so be sure to check that out. Keep track of your progress. Journal your way through so that you can remember specific days when something important happened that you need to remember. Be a part of the prayer wall community and pray for each other, encourage one another. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources that are all brand new. Nearly and completely brand new Daily Audio Bible Shop that we have been working on for a long, long time. So all kinds of brand new things in there. Check out, the Word of the Year coins. All of the different words of the year. You can get all of them in collector coin editions. This year's word being repair. Last year's word being safe. Any of these words, collect them together. New Daily Audio Bible bamboo ink pens with our logo on it. Some a new keychain, some new stickers. Global campfire, the line of aromas. Our own proprietary aroma. Global Campfire is what it's called. There's the Global Campfire Candle, the Global Campfire Room Spray, Global Campfire Table Matches, and then all our writing things, the Blackwing pencils and our writing journal and all of those things that are so tactile and so important as we use our bodies to write our stories. We've just begun to stock the brand new Blackwing pen. And that has just kind of released. I was skeptical because I'm like, Blackwing made me a pencil guy. Like, it took me back old school and I like sharpening a pencil and I like writing with my own hand. And, you know, just it's just a body thing. Like, you're using your body to kind of get these emotions out onto paper. So this pen came out and I was like, I gotta try this. Now it's my pen. Like, I still like to journal with my pencil, but this is my go-to. Like, it goes with me everywhere. It's my pen. I love it. It just, because it writes kind of really nice and dark and smooth. Like, it has almost a, I mean, it almost has like a you, like a writing pencil kind of vibe. Anyway, we have those in stock. They just came out. So those are in stock in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. Check them out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is light and hope and life and direction and community and hope, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
I'd like to request prayer for my sister Jan. She'll be having surgery tomorrow, May the 6th, for God to comfort her heart and let the surgery go well and that she heal quickly. Thank you.
Hello, my daily audio Bible friends and family. I have not called in for a while, but I'm still listening and praying along with you all. I would like to go by Accepted in the Beloved. Today, I'm calling on behalf of my son. He works for a company that was great at first, but then the leadership changed. Now he is expected to produce more and more without being given the necessary man hours for his team. That means that he has to work more hours himself. He is salary. He was already working 50 to 60 hours a week, and now it is 70 to 80 hours a week. Plus, he has a lengthy commute. Bottom line is, he doesn't get to see his family. He has a wife and a teenage daughter and a 2-year-old daughter, and they are precious. He often gets up before everyone else and leaves for work and gets home after everyone is in bed. He has been looking for another job for months. Recently, he was told by a company that they were preparing an offer for him, and we were all so excited, so he's been waiting to hear back. He has reached back out to their HR department to follow up, but nothing for sure yet. He called us this morning. He sounds tired, and he's getting sick, and he doesn't get enough sleep. He has earned many hours of time off, but his boss does not approve for him to use the hours. So I am asking the Lord, please, Lord, make a way for him to get into a job so that he can have time with his family and get some sleep. Please, may the recruiter or administrator get back to him with good news. Please, Lord, he's tired. He's getting sick again, and he's losing hope. Please, Lord.
Hey, DAB family. My name is Matthew, and I've been listening on and off for 10 years. I'm about 32 years old, and I've been a believer since I was a young boy, but I've always struggled against the flesh, struggled against assurance of salvation. Anyways, I'm going through quite a bit of suffering physically, all over my body. Every day I wake up and there's some new physical pain that has no answer in my jaw, my elbows, my knees. I've been tested and doctors can't figure out what it is. And, you know, I would just love prayer from that, from you guys. And every day I listen to your prayers and my life is put into perspective. And I know that brothers and sisters across the world are suffering in many ways. And the Lord calls us to endurance. And I love the Lord so much.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. It's been a while, but I'm back calling in to pray and encourage those calling in with needs. Janice from Arkansas, I heard you today. You expressed that you are a widow for about a year, and you're looking for the next chapter in your life. While you're looking, I am praying, and I prayed while you were talking for your healing and for the comfort of the Lord to surround you. I know that there's still periods of mourning, and I'm praying that the Lord would carry you through that, through those times. I'm also praying that doors would open to you, that you would recognize them, and that the Lord would reveal what's next, and that he would bring people into your life to encourage you, as it sounds like you may live in a bit of a secluded area. So Janice will continue to pray for you. Lonnie, I heard you on both channels, and I know that you are struggling with some pretty serious medical illnesses, which I understand through my medical background. So I am praying for your the Lord to help you with your fear and anxiety, that you can trust him, that you can sense his protection and his spirit of protection over your body, over your mind, and over all of the things that are troubling you. And I lift up healing requests for you, Lonnie, in the name of Jesus. I know these things you're dealing with are pretty scary, and I pray that the Lord would lead you to compassionate physicians to encourage you and treat you in Jesus' name. Thank you all and love you all.
Abide in Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. I heard April 30th, a mom named Betsy praying for a miracle for her son Grayson fighting cancer and tumors in her son. I was battling a tumor that was cancer in my brain, and during the surgery I had a stroke, and all of the doctors who watched my vitals, they came and told me that I should not be alive. But the Lord is powerful and awesome, and I want the Lord to show how awesome He is when He shows up and shows off. So I ask the Lord to continue to be the Lord Almighty, and I will be praying for your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Bob from Colorado, calling in to pray for my, asking prayer for my nephew. He is on dialysis. He's a young man, probably in his early 60s, and he's on dialysis seeking a donor, kidney donor. So I pray for him. I pray that, Lord, you would find a donor for him and that you would have mercy and grace there, Lord. Thank you for the people who have donated, and thank you for their lives and the heart that you've given them. I do pray for my sister who is suffering from, she's in her 80s, and she is suffering from gut issues. I think that is the main source, and it's causing her much discomfort and a lack of mobility. And in her later years, Lord, I pray that you would bless her with health and mobility and a good mind, sound mind and body. So I thank you for many things, Lord, for the direction that you've given us and love you've given us. I pray for our leaders, both our national leaders, state leaders, kind of local leaders, Lord. Direct them and help us find a, celebrate a nation that is under one God and liberty and justice for all. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.